yesterday's attacks on other things.
Some say that he does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Mid-May protests at the Gaza border. The largest and deadliest since Palestinians began the Great March of Return on March 30th. The protests reached their climax on May 15th, the 70th anniversary of the Nakba, during which most of Palestine's Arab population were expelled from their homes in the course of Israel's creation. The Israeli regime has long denied responsibility for the refugee problem and says the refugees will never be allowed to return. American policymakers now seem to accept the Israeli view. But this was not always the case. The term Nakba never entered Washington's political discourse. Yet U.S. policymakers understood the nature and scope of the plight Palestinians underwent during Israel's creation. Following the Deir Yassin massacre and other attacks by the Zionist militias, thousands of Palestinians took refuge abroad.
بعد 48 صار أشياء كثيرة تغيرت كل شيء في الحياة يعني على سبيل المثال باعتراف مناحم بيجن لما احتلوا هذه دير ياسين هذا تصريح مش مني مناحم بيجن بيقول بالحرف الواحد انه لما احنا اخذنا دير ياسين وصارت فيها المذبحة والدمار والقتل كانت هي عبارة عن السبب اللي خلى الفلسطينيين من القرى كلها يهاجروا خوفا على حياتهم لأنه كانوا هذه بداية ففكروا إنهم إنه يعملوا فيهم اليهود مثل ما عملوا في دير ياسين فصاروا كل يسحب حاله ويخرج يطلع خارج البلاد.
Since then, the U.S. State Department kept regular tabs on the numbers and conditions of Palestinians fleeing the area. When the first U.S. representative to Israel, James G. McDonald, repeated Israeli claims that Palestinians fled as a result of the invasion of Arab armies, Secretary of State George Marshall reminded him that the Arab refugee problem began before the outbreak of Arab-Israeli hostilities. A significant portion of Arab refugees fled their homes owing to Jewish occupation of Haifa on April 21-22 and to a Jewish armed attack against Jaffa on April 25. Marshall's message went on to warn that the leaders of Israel would make a grave miscalculation if they thought callous treatment of this tragic issue could pass unnoticed by world opinion. Like other countries, the United States supported UN General Assembly Resolution 194, which among other things urged Israel to allow the Palestinian refugees wishing to return to their homes and live at peace with their neighbors should be permitted to do so at the earliest practicable date. Even Truman, regarded by many as the midwife of the modern Israeli state, admitted that he was rather disgusted with the manner in which the Jews are approaching the refugee problem. Over the years, the urgency over the Palestinian refugee crisis began to fade. But U.S. administrations continue to view a resolution of the refugee issue as the key to an Arab-Israeli peace settlement.
Let us begin.
It was President Lyndon B. Johnson who made a distinct departure from his predecessors. In his memoirs, Johnson criticized Arab leaders for failing to absorb the refugees. He made no mention of Israel's role in the creation of the refugee problem.
We have repeatedly reaffirmed, we must again reiterate, that the right to return of Palestine refugees is precisely that, a right, not a claim and it is inabrogable. That right is enshrined in Resolution 194 and is based on international law and the principles of justice and equity. Their rights are no different from any refugee in our world today.
The same type of amnesia that erased the Nakba from Washington's political consciousness half a century ago is once again among U.S. politicians, this time in relation to the Israeli occupation. Since 1967, U.S. policy and the Middle East peace process have been based on U.N. Security Council Resolution 242, which called on Israel to withdraw from lands it occupied, including the West Bank and Gaza. Since 2000, the international community, including the U.S., has interpreted Resolution 242 in the context of establishing a Palestinian state in the West Bank and Gaza. Bill Clinton was the first U.S. president to bring up Palestinian statehood as unofficial U.S. policy.
Children of Abraham, the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael, have embarked together on a bold journey. Together, today, with all our hearts and all our souls, we bid them shalom, salam, peace.
The policies of ending Israel's occupation and establishing a Palestinian state were put forward by George W. Bush.
All here today now share a goal. The Holy Land must be shared between a state of Palestine, the state of Israel, living at peace with each other and with every nation of the Middle East. All sides will benefit from this achievement, and all sides have responsibilities to meet. As the roadmap accepted by the party makes clear, both must make tangible, immediate steps toward this two-state vision.
Thank you very much.
Barack Obama echoed his predecessor's positions, though by his time, the policies were no longer a matter of bipartisan agreement. In 2011, when Obama called for a two-state solution, he was met with fury from Republicans. In 2016, the Republican Party formally erased references to a two-state solution from its party platform, declaring that it rejects the false notion that Israel is an occupier. The election of Donald Trump has only sped up this trend. The relocation of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem al-Quds on May 14th marked the day the policy of the United States government toward the Israeli-Palestinian conflict lost all of its complexity, ambiguity, and nuance. Here is how President Trump marked the occasion.
Exactly 70 years ago, the United States, under President Harry Truman, became the first nation to recognize the State of Israel. Today, we officially open the United States Embassy in Jerusalem. Congratulations. It's been a long time coming. For many years, we failed to acknowledge the obvious, the plain reality that Israel's capital is Jerusalem.
And it was not just Trump celebrating the relocation.
I think moving the embassy to Jerusalem was a good idea. It's been American law for over two decades, and every president waived it. I think President Trump did the right thing in moving the embassy. It ought to be the undivided capital of Israel.
Always believed, I urge President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, and President Trump move the embassy because Israel should decide where its capital is, and I continue to do that with every president.
Under President Trump, the United States is no longer pretending to be a neutral arbiter to end the conflict. Washington has declared clearly that it only cares about Israel's interests. As for the Palestinians, Washington's is no longer pretending to care.